From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, January 15th. I'm Abby Larico. In his second State of the State speech this week, Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe discussed his goal of eliminating the state income tax.
The general revenue that we collect from Missouri income taxes is nearly $9 billion. And if you put $9 billion back into Missourians' pockets, I believe they'll spend the money and it will have a more positive effect than if government was spending that money.
Kehoe sat down with St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum and Sarah Kellogg for a post-speech interview. They ask him about this idea and more coming up after this news on The Gateway. U.S. Senator Josh Hawley is reversing course on a measure that would constrain President Donald Trump from taking military action in Venezuela. After Trump ordered the invasion of Venezuela earlier this month, Hawley voted for a war powers resolution requiring congressional approval for Trump to use the military further in the country. Then President Trump said in a social media post that Hawley and four other Republican senators who also backed the resolution should never get elected to office again. Hawley now says he no longer supports the resolution after getting assurances from Secretary of State Marco Rubio that there won't be ground troops in Venezuela. And he says his change of mind was not a result of Trump's criticism.
Secretary Rubio has said directly to me there are absolutely no plans or intentions of occupying Venezuela. But if something crazy should happen, they will follow the Constitution and statutes in working through this with Congress.
The Senate rejected the War Powers Resolution on Wednesday evening. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer says the city has yet to spend $100 million for storm relief allocated to the city by the state. In June, the Missouri legislature approved the funding during a special legislative session. 7 months later, those dollars have yet to be spent. Spencer says the city is currently working with FEMA to leverage those funds.
As FEMA has been shifting over the last year, it's made it a bit more challenging to ensure that as we combine those funds together, we're able to get them out quickly.
Spencer says she realizes progress seems slow, but the city is working as quickly as possible. A St. Louis program that aims to stabilize vacant city buildings with taxpayer funds has struggled for the past 5 years. St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri reports, though, the program may soon get a boost from the Board of Aldermen.
Prop NS seeks to make homes in the city's land bank structurally sound. The buildings are chosen through a nomination process and repairs are funded through a $6 million stipend. A proposed bill would raise a cap on repair spending put into place by voters in 2017. Currently, the city can only spend $30,000 on a single-family home. Prop NS Director Sean Thomas said those rates have been problematic.
We're talking 10 years now since those caps were established. And even then, I think there's a strong case that the limits were below what we needed.
In the past 5 years, the program has repaired roughly 190 homes and sold 113 to private owners. However, only 12 of those have been fully rehabbed. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
The U.S. Supreme Court ruled that Congressman Mike Bost can challenge Illinois' mail-in ballots. The High Court ruled yesterday that the Illinois Republican has legal standing to sue over how the mail-in ballots are counted. The justices ruled in favor of Bost 7-2. Justice Elena Kagan joined the court's six conservatives in that ruling. The court did not consider Bost's challenge on its merits. Rather, it reversed lower court decisions which said he had not proved he'd been injured by the Illinois law. Mail-in ballots can be counted up to 14 days after the election, as long as they are postmarked by Election Day. Bost's lawsuit now heads back to the U.S. District Court of Northern Illinois, which is based in Chicago. Early voting starts in less than a month for primary elections in Illinois. Democratic Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski, who represents much of the Metro East, is facing a challenger, progressive Dylan Blaha. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer talked with Budzinski about the election on the Politically Speaking podcast.
Budzinski believes her party made a handful of mistakes in the last election, like Joe Biden running for a second term. She also says Democrats have lost touch with one of their most important voting blocs, the working class.
I think in 2024, the Democrats, we spent too much time trying to convince working people that the economy was good. And we were coming at them with a lot of facts and figures. Interestingly, I think that's something that President Trump is also making that same mistake right now, too.
To tackle affordability, the Congresswoman says bringing back the now-expired tax credits for the Affordable Care Act would be a good start. Early voting begins February 5th. The primary is March 17th. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
A small St. Clair County village's water exceeds the federal limit for a forever chemical. That's according to an Illinois Environmental Protection Agency statement released yesterday. DuPo's water tested at 4.5 parts per trillion for the chemical. The federal limit is 4 parts per trillion. DuPo is just the latest Metro East community to test above the standard. Bethalto, Collinsville, Edwardsville, and East Alton also received similar notices from the state agency last year. Forever chemicals, also known as PFAS, are a group of compounds that take a long time to deteriorate and are found in everyday items like nonstick pans, shampoo, and cosmetics. They can cause health problems when people are repeatedly exposed over long periods of time. There will soon be a new arch in town, this one at Forest Park in St. Louis. Forest Park Forever announced about $3 million in upgrades this week, including a revamped entrance. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin has details.
The busy entrance at Skinker Boulevard and Lagoon Drive in the northwest corner of the park will get a wider pedestrian path and a grand archway made of stone and steel. Ted Spade, a partner at lead design firm SWT Design, says it'll be a signature site, and it's built to last.
It's going to be that place where people are going to take pictures at the entrance in the Forest Park. And it's going to be here for well over 100 years. And so it's a daunting design effort because I know it's going to outlast me and probably my kids and then some.
Other updates include 117 new trees and a part of the park hit hard by the May 16th tornado. A construction start date will be announced this month. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe gave his second State of the State speech on Tuesday. He says he wants to eliminate the state income tax, reduce government spending, and allocate more funds to St. Louis for tornado relief. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum and Sarah Kellogg sat down with Kehoe after his speech to discuss his priorities for this year.
The centerpiece of your speech is a ballot item that would phase the income tax out over 5 years and allow the legislature to place a sales tax on services. So to be clear, if voters reject this, there will be no income tax elimination?
Well, we currently have a plan in place with what they call Senate Bill 509, where there's a series of triggers where the income tax would come down. There's several pieces of legislation that would remove that floor. It's well intended, but it would take decades to get to the plan there. But the plan we're proposing happens on a much quicker time frame.
Missourians overwhelmingly banned sales taxes on services in 2016. Why do you think they would reverse this, especially since they may not want to pay more money for things like an Audible subscription or a Fortnite battle pass?
Well, because this will put more money in their pocket. The general revenue that we collect from Missouri income taxes is nearly $9 billion. And if you put $9 billion back into Missourians' pockets, I believe they'll spend the money and it will have a more positive effect than if government was spending that money.
Your budget would cut around $600 million from general revenue spending, including more than $270 million from the Department of Social Services. Will that make it harder for the state to deliver critical services like Medicaid, food assistance, and child welfare?
We won't attack or touch any of those things. We had all of our department directors go through a exercise in every department on what certain cuts they could get by with that would not affect essential services. And we're really confident in what that department has put forward to us will be achieved through, you know, some efficiency and some other things. But yeah, the average Missourian, I don't think we'll see an effect to that.
Your budget includes an additional $86 million for debris removal in St. Louis to help residents recover from the tornado. And that's in addition to the $100 million the legislature approved in the special session back in June, as well as a tax credit for insurance deductibles. Do you foresee the state will have to continue to use general revenue money to help pay for this tornado damage?
Well, remember, there's a federal match to a lot of that. So the federal match will help us. We're very grateful to the administration and Secretary Noem specifically, who's been contacting us, along with Senator Schmidt, who's done a really good job of making sure that we utilize all of the federal resources available to us. But, you know, look, St. Louis is going to have to get rebuilt.
You mentioned AI in your speech, particularly in how it can help certain state governmental agencies. President Trump has called for bans on the state regulating AI, which would include regulating data centers. Do you think that local communities in particular should have a say over whether these facilities get built?
Well, I think there's a lot of misinformation out there about data centers. If you look at the investment that comes with some of these, they're in the billions, $10 to $20 billion for some of these projects. The legislature passed, I will give them credit, Senate Bill 4 that gives consumer protections on those energy costs. So as we develop infrastructures to support the data centers, it's not being on the backs of the consumers. I think that's very important. But yes, at the end of the day, a community, and especially their elected officials who are elected to make those decisions, they're going to have to try to figure out what fits their communities best.
What is the message that you would like Missourians to take away from your speech today?
Well, the message should be that we're going to deal with their taxpayer dollars fiscally responsible. We're not going to just continue to spend money because it's their money. And I think if they look at the model that we're looking at, it's like the average household sometimes faces in Missouri. Their bills are too high, so they got to cut those down, but they're going to try to figure out a way for the family to make more money. And I think the income tax provides an opportunity for that second piece of that to happen, for those families to keep more of the money that they earned in their pocket. And I hope we can get that through the legislature to actually see if that effect helps families.
That was Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe expanding on his State of the State speech and his goals for the upcoming session with STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum and Sarah Kellogg. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.